Thanks for tuning in to the latest issue of Sawtooth Mountain Clinic's Topic of the Month. This month's topic is food allergies, sensitivities, and intolerances. If you're lucky, you can gobble up any food that you like without concern about allergies, sensitivities, or intolerances. For about 4 to 6% of children, and 4% of adults, though, consuming the wrong foods or drinks can result in uncomfortable or even life-threatening reactions. So what's the difference? Allergies, sensitivities, and intolerances happen in different systems of the body. Allergies happen in the immune system. For unknown reasons, the body will identify a food as an allergen and then treat it like a dangerous invader. The body mounts an attack and produces antibodies called immunoglobulin E, or IgE for short. These antibodies then cause other cells to release chemicals that cause an allergic reaction. Allergic reactions to a food can be caused by consuming even a minuscule amount, or by touching it, or just inhaling microscopic particles from the air. Symptoms usually start within minutes of consuming that food. Allergic reactions can include things like skin reactions, which could show up as hives, itchiness, or swelling, vomiting or diarrhea, respiratory symptoms such as shortness of breath or wheezing, or, most frighteningly, anaphylaxis. This is a life-threatening reaction that can include things like difficulty breathing, dizziness, or loss of consciousness. Injected epinephrine and medical care are required immediately for anaphylaxis. The symptoms of food allergies happen most commonly in babies and children, but they can appear at any age. It's even possible to develop an allergy to a food that's been eaten for years without any problems. Food sensitivities can cause immune reactions that generate symptoms across body systems, such as joint pain, stomach pain, fatigue, rashes, and/or brain fog. Some people may be what's called cross-reactive, meaning they react to foods that are related, while other people are comfortably able to consume similar foods. Food intolerances happen in the digestive system and occur when someone's body can't properly digest a food. This can happen because their body doesn't produce enough of a certain enzyme or because their body's reacting to a specific chemical in the food, either one that's there naturally or one that's been added. Symptoms of intolerances may take hours to show up as the food moves through the digestive tract. They may be inconvenient, but unlike allergies, intolerances aren't immediately dangerous. Many people with intolerances can eat small amounts without having problems. Symptoms of a food intolerance can include abdominal or belly pain, gas or bloating, diarrhea or constipation, headaches or migraines, heartburn, nausea or upset stomach, or skin rashes. The three most common types of food intolerances are lactose, histamine, and gluten. Lactose is the milk sugar that is naturally occurring in milk products, and worldwide, only about 35% of people over the age of 7 or 8 can digest dairy products. As most people get older, their bodies make less lactase, which is the enzyme that processes lactose. Histamine. Histamine occurs naturally in foods such as cheese, pineapples, bananas, avocados, chocolate, red wine, and some white wines. People that are histamine intolerant don't make enough of the enzyme diamine oxidase. You've probably heard about being gluten intolerant. Gluten is the protein that's found in wheat, rye, and barley. Some people have a hard time digesting it and are referred to as being gluten intolerant. Celiac disease, on the other hand, is a complex autoimmune disorder in which the immune system causes damage to the small intestine after a person eats gluten. Let's learn a little bit about the management and treatment of allergies, sensitivities, and intolerances. The primary way to manage food allergies is to avoid consuming foods that cause a reaction. This involves diligent label reading, but not all consumables are required to list potential allergens, such as meat, poultry, certain egg products, distilled spirits, wine, and beer. Additionally, some cosmetics, shampoos, and other health or beauty items may contain tree nut extracts or wheat proteins, but they aren't required to disclose them. Eating out can be especially challenging. Restaurant staff may not know all the ingredients of every dish that they serve. Depending on a person's level of sensitivity, even walking into a restaurant could cause a reaction. Not only can it be difficult to know what allergy-causing ingredients are in foods, but sometimes it can be difficult to gauge the danger of foods. The severity of allergic reactions can be unpredictable. Someone that has previously experienced only mild symptoms can, without warning, experience anaphylaxis. This is a life-threatening reaction that can impair breathing and cause blood pressure to fall to dangerously low levels. People with diagnosed food allergies should have an epinephrine auto-injector with them at all times. It's the only treatment for anaphylaxis. What about sensitivities? Elimination diets can help identify food sensitivities. This is the process of carefully experimenting, observing, and documenting both foods and the reactions that they may cause. Over a period of weeks, foods are first removed and then reintroduced, one by one. This is best done with the guidance of a physician or registered dietitian. They can help you understand the limitations of this experiment and avoid potential difficulties. Identifying food intolerances is also done by using an elimination diet. Some people may be able to consume small amounts of a food and have only minor reactions. Those symptoms may be tolerable or helped by taking over-the-counter medications such as lactase enzymes, antacids, or antidiarrheals. Dietary changes may need to happen for intolerances to be properly addressed. So maybe you're wondering now, well, what have I got? While some of the symptoms can be similar, since allergic reactions can be life-threatening, it's important to know whether you have an allergy or an intolerance. Food allergies are diagnosed based on a history of reactions and a positive skin or blood test to confirm the allergy. If there's only a positive skin or blood test but no history of reactions, this can mean that a person is sensitized but not necessarily allergic. Keep in mind, there are no accurate, validated tests to identify intolerances, but keeping a food diary can help you single out problem foods. Okay, so what about food sensitivity and other tests? There are direct-to-consumer tests that claim to be able to spot food sensitivities by checking for immunoglobulin antibodies. They typically look for one that's called IgG. These have not been shown to pinpoint either food allergies or food sensitivities with any reliability. A positive IgG test simply shows that someone has been exposed to that food in the past. It doesn't show an allergy to food. There are many other tests that also allege to be able to identify food allergies or sensitivities, even hidden ones, whatever that means. They have no scientific validation. They lack quality control, and they should not be used to diagnose food allergies. Examples of invalid and unreliable tests include things like applied kinesiology, facial thermography tests, hair analysis testing, a pulse test. If you want to know more about this, I'd suggest that you read the written version of this month's topic, because there's actually a list of more than 15 of these unreliable tests, and I've got links in there where you can learn more about each one of these tests and why you shouldn't put any weight in the results. Ultimately, though, if you have questions about any of this, contact your Sawtooth Mountain Clinic provider. They can help you get the right answers. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the audio version of this month's topic of the month. If you'd like more information on helpful things, such as learning how to be a diligent label reader, like we talked about earlier, or how to separate medical facts from fiction, then you're going to want to go over to our website, www.sawtoothmountainclinic.org, and go to the Topic of the Month page. Waiting for you there are over 70 issues of other Topics of the Months that are full of this kind of good information. You'll have access to not only the newsletters, but all the resources that were used in creating them, so you can really dive deeply if you'd like. Thanks for listening, and I hope you found this helpful. Until next time.